I have the story that we did.
Welcome to the podcast of Lancaster Brethren in Christ Church, located in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. LBIC is a community being transformed by the love of Jesus, sharing this love with all people. We want this podcast to be an extension of our community and a connection with familiar voices. Together, we want to think about how to follow Jesus in our particular moment. So enjoy the podcast. We're grateful to have you join us as a part of the LBIC family.
Mary to sit at his feet. In case you weren't aware, if Jesus isn't happy with something you're doing, he'll have a way of letting you know that. But he doesn't. So when Martha asks, "Don't you care?" Yes, he cares. He cares a lot. In allowing Mary to sit at his feet in the posture of learning, Jesus wants Mary to know, Jesus wants Martha to know, Jesus wants the disciples that are with him to know that the barriers for following him are being torn down. Does he care? Yes, he does care. So what are the implications for this story for us today? Well, let's think about our hearts and our posture as we serve one another. Have you ever been in a point of service in which you lost focus? I have a story for you. I was leading a youth and young adult service trip one time. I think it was in Louisiana. And we were serving through an organization, and I forget the name of the organization. One of the things that they asked was that they wanted us to eat simply during this week of service. We were serving families of very, very low income, and they thought that it was important for us to have a full experience to not just have huge, big meals during the workday and in the evening. So they really stressed this idea of simple eating. We knew that was going to be hard, but we decided we would try to honor their request. And our team was broken into two or three different teams, and each team went to the same job site every day. We were building or rebuilding houses, making repairs, cleaning up their yards, doing whatever they needed. But as the days went by, we learned that there was quite a difference between the families that we were serving. Our family was very nice, but other than a morning greeting, we really didn't interact with them very much. But we learned that another team was serving a woman, and she was greeting them, she was feeding them, she was giving them things to drink. She was just being really hospitable to them, actually. Well, when we learned about this, we weren't very happy, but we were like, okay, this is actually this woman's way of saying thank you. So as hard as it was, we decided that we would stick to the plan and be okay with this other team not exactly sticking to the plan. And that was going well. And then one day, one of my leaders that was on my team needed to take supplies to that team. And he took a little longer than I thought, but I got busy doing stuff and didn't really pay attention to it. Until later in the afternoon, he had come back, and I needed to get in his van to get something. I opened the van door, and I found a Twinkie wrapper. He had betrayed his team with a Twinkie. I was furious. How dare he eat a Twinkie? I was beyond livid. Did he not know that we had made a commitment to eating simply and Twinkies was not a part of that? Did he not see how horrible this was? Now, honestly, I don't remember what I said to him, but I'm pretty sure I was not overflowing with grace. I was so upset over a Twinkie. And I haven't thought about that story for years. But I think it's a great example about being worried or upset over the wrong things and losing focus. The reason that we were there, the reason we had committed to simple eating, that day it was not about the Twinkie. It was about the condition of my heart. I have to say that in these days we're getting really good at wanting to compare, to call others out for the way that they are not serving or worshiping correctly. We've also become really good at putting up some barriers that Jesus worked so hard to tear down. Jesus wanted everyone to know him, to experience his love. By Mary sitting at his feet and Jesus being okay with it, in some ways inviting it, Jesus was showing us that it was and it still is time for barriers to come down. As I said earlier, the way that Martha asked that question to Jesus, we know through the Greek sentence structure and the words that were used, it was clear that Martha expected Jesus to agree with her. Do you expect Jesus to agree with you on some of the judgments or barriers that you want to put up? Do you want Jesus to notice that you're doing all the hard work and others aren't pulling their weight? I'd like to suggest that when you get to that point, you've actually missed the point. Do you expect Jesus to agree with you when you're upset that someone breaks through a social custom? Do you want Jesus to condemn someone for hanging out with people they aren't supposed to hang out with? I would like to suggest when you get to that point that you forgot that this is the one who hung out with the sinners and the tax collectors and the prostitutes. This is not just a story of active versus contemplative styles of spirituality. Both are necessary, and I think we can go as far as saying that one feeds into the other. A few weeks ago, I said how loving God is demonstrated best by loving our neighbor, which shows we love God, which we show by loving our neighbor, and it's kind of cyclical. It's the same thing here. We desire to serve, so we do things, which draws us to wanting to learn more and know more about Jesus, which draws us to serve more. And then we want to know and learn more about Jesus, and then we want to serve more. Now, we're all going to have different points of emphasis. Some of us are going to serve more. Some of us are going to be more of the contemplative learning. Either is fine. We need both. But we each, as individuals, also need both so that we can grow more and be the person that Jesus desires for us to be. So it's not just a story of active versus contemplative worship. It's not just a story about breaking down barriers, although I think it's important. I think it's impossible for us to understand truly what Mary was doing in that moment. She wasn't just sitting at his feet to learn. That posture of sitting at his feet was so that she could be a disciple, so that she could teach others. She was destroying some social barriers just in that posture and that day. The story is about both of those things, but I think primarily it's actually about our heart. Doesn't Jesus care? Of course he cares. Of course he cares. But what he cares about is not your version of serving versus mine. He cares about the attitude of your heart. Does he care about breaking down barriers? Of course he cares, but not so that walls can be built back up, but so they can stay down. And what is your condition of what is the condition of your heart towards those on the other side of those barriers? You don't have to choose between being Mary or being Martha. You can be the one who serves in the kitchen or the tech team or any number of other service areas. And you can be the one who's contemplative and likes to sit and learn so that you can teach others. But what you can't be is the one who forgets the one whom you're serving. You can't be the one who says this person is acceptable for Jesus and this one is not. The story of Mary and Martha is a fairly common one. I'm sure you've heard it before, and I'm sure this probably isn't the last time you're going to hear a message about this. But my hope is that when you do hear it, you will remember that both of these women loved Jesus. That is not what is in question here. Both of these women felt safe enough that they could ask him a question, that they could destroy social boundaries while they were with him. I think it is Martha who started out strong. She wanted to demonstrate her love for Jesus by fulfilling the role of hospitality, and Mary started out strong by wanting to sit at the feet and learn from Jesus. The difference is that one of them got distracted and the other one did not. And this would be a great place for me to wrap up my message. But I want to keep going a little bit longer because I want to be practical. Because we can walk out of here and say, yes, I'm going to do it. I'm going to focus more on Jesus. And then before you know it, you get home for lunch. You turn on the game. Or you go for a walk, or you play with the kids, you take your Sunday afternoon nap, you make dinner, you read a book, or watch a little TV before you go to bed, you close your eyes, you think about the day, and you think, oh man, I got a little more impatient with that family member that I wanted to, I spent a little more time on social media than I wanted to, I actually really didn't focus on Jesus at all today. But willpower is not enough. In his book, The Celebration of Discipline, Richard Foster says, the moment we feel we can succeed and attain victory by the strength of our will is the moment we are worshiping our will. So we have to get practical for a moment. How do you actually get through the day and focus on Jesus? Before I go any further, I want to say that none of us is as great as this as we want to be. None of us are as consistent in this as we need to be. But this isn't about judging ourselves or others. This is about finding a starting point and moving forward step by step. We're all beginners. And again, in his book, Celebration of Discipline, Richard Foster says this, beginners are welcome. He says, I too am a beginner, even and especially after a number of years of practicing the disciplines discussed in this book. As Thomas Merton says, we do not want to be beginners, but let us be convinced of the fact that we will never be anything else but beginners all our life. So set aside any shame that keeps you from moving forward, because we are all beginners. I'm actually not going to give you a step-by-step process to stay focused on Jesus through the day, but I do want to give you a few things to hold on to. First, remember, we cannot do this on our own. We can put various disciplines in our lives, but it is not our will that does the work. Foster says, and I believe I have this quote in your bulletin, Foster says, inner righteousness is a gift from God to be graciously received. The needed change within us is God's work, not ours. God has given us the disciplines of the spiritual life as a means of receiving his grace. The disciplines allow us to place ourselves before God so that he can transform us. The disciplines allow us to place ourselves before God so that he can transform us. And there are a few ways we can approach this desire to stay focused. A few weeks ago, I shared some of the disciplines that Foster talks about in his book. If you have not read this book, if you're not familiar with this book, it's called The Celebration of Discipline. This is a really old copy, so maybe it looks a little bit different right now. But he lists 12 different disciplines, and he talks about how to add those to your life. They are 12 good and trusted ways to place yourself before God so that he can transform us. And in fact, if you haven't experienced any of those, there's things like meditation or fasting or submission or confession. If you haven't experienced some of those, I encourage you to try to do so. And we could take the next 12 weeks to dive into each the facets of each one of these, but as far as I know, that is not the plan. And I don't have the time this morning to go into each one. And this isn't even a full and complete list. He doesn't mention Sabbath or journaling, or gratitude. There's many, many more practices that you could add to your life. And remember, we don't want to dive into each one of these so that we worship the practice over the one to receive our worship. That's what Martha did. That was the problem. These are gifts that God has given us to put us in a place of connecting with him. Now, I know that for some of you, some of these words that I've just said about meditation or submission or confession, that's, you are truly a beginner, and even that is a little bit more than you can even connect with. So what we want to do is we want to hold on to this tension of worshiping and being transformed by a holy God and remembering that he is in the daily routines of our lives. So if a day of solitude seems somewhat unattainable to you, what about a prayer of blessing as you brush your teeth in the morning? In her book, The Liturgy of the Ordinary, which is another great book, if you haven't read this one is just about really inviting Jesus into the very routine things of your life. She says, Tish Harrison Warren is the author, and this is what she says. A sign hangs on the wall in a new monastic Christian community house. Everyone wants a revolution. No one wants to do the dishes. I was and remain a Christian who longs for revolution, for things to be made new and whole and beautiful in big ways. But what I'm slowly seeing is that you can't get to the revolution without learning to do the dishes. The kind of spiritual life and disciplines needed to sustain the Christian life are quiet, repetitive, and ordinary. I often want to skip the boring daily stuff to get to the thrill of an edgy faith. But it's in the dailiness of the Christian faith, the making the bed, the doing the dishes, the praying for our enemies, the reading the Bible, the quiet, the small, that God's transformation takes root and grows. So my encouragement for you today is to do the dishes. Find a routine, find a daily practice, and invite God into that space. For many of you, it could be your morning commute. For some, it could be the first time in the morning when you pick up your phone. For some, maybe you walk. When you take your walk, you say the Lord's Prayer or you repeat the 23rd Psalm. And I want to say it's okay to use reminders until you get it into being a daily practice. If you need to tape the Lord's Prayer to your dog's leash so that you remember to pray when you go for a walk, do it. Or maybe you post a reminder on your bathroom mirror. Or maybe you set a notification on your phone. Think about it. Which is more holy? Using practical reminders to get you to face Jesus or to not face Jesus at all. It's okay to use reminders. One last thought. Prayer is crucial to focusing and being transformed by Jesus. It is communion with the Father. I know that there's many questions about prayer, and there's many, many, many books about prayer, and we will never fully understand prayer. But I can tell you it's vital. I know that some of you will hear me say that and decide that you aren't even a beginner because prayer is just not in your realm of possibilities right now. So I would encourage you to keep trying. I would encourage you to be open to the idea of your idea of prayer maybe changing and being reshaped. We know that hands folded and eyes closed is not the posture we have to have for prayer, although it actually is a good practice for some of us. Prayer can be as simple as just being with God. Prayer does not need words. So, we are going to do something this morning which is going to push the limits for some of you. I am going to set the timer on my phone, and we are going to have 2 minutes to pray. That is going to feel like a very long time for some of you. You can pray out loud. You can pray words silently. You can just say the name of Jesus over and over and over again. And when that grocery list pops into your mind, or the things you need to remember to do before you leave, or the person you need to talk to, when those things pop in your mind, just let them float away and get back to the face of Jesus. 2 minutes is going to feel like a long time, but stick it out. Allow yourself to focus on Jesus and to place yourself before God so that he can transform you. So I'm going to set my timer. I'm not going to say ready, set, go, because that feels a little funny. So let me start us with a word of prayer, and then we will go to silence. Lord Jesus, we open ourselves to prayer, to hearing, to receiving, and to being with you. Amen. We love you, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would help us be what we need, be the strength that we need to put us in a place to be transformed by you. We pray this in your name. Amen. I invite those who are helping to